Brazil 2014 is over. It was wonderful. It was controversial, scandalous. In the end, pretty happy with the final. Welcome to the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here with Thomas Dobby and Brendan Dunlop. Listen, the final was not a classic, we know that, but I was actually quite enthralled by it. I thought it was a decent game of football in the end, and I'm glad it went to a goal and not penalties in the end. But listen, you don't see too many classics in finals, but I thought it was a pretty good match.
Yeah, the first half I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, within the first 10 minutes, there was more action than there was the whole Argentina-Netherlands game. I thought, okay, and you know, the half played out and good chances here and there, a goal called back, a dreadful miss from Higuain. Second half, pretty big lull. I mean, they just kind of started going through the motions. I know they were tired, blah, blah, they played a lot of games, but you know, there was a huge lull, and you got the sense it was going to penalties, and it was nice. I agree that we had that moment of magic and that moment that we can remember and that wasn't decided on penalties, because I know it's cliche again, but you never really want to see a final decided on penalties.
So. No, but I mean, did you not sit there and want Argentina to really run at Germany? I mean,
they got exactly
we didn't get
what they deserved. They got what
they
deserved.
They haven't won at anyone on tournament.
I know. Right? I think that and maybe, you know, I'm naive or stupid to think that. Germany played their tournament. Yeah, I think so. Germany played their tournament the way we want to see Argentina play. And I know, you know, they didn't have the pieces, and Angel Di Maria, of course, Sergio Aguero didn't look impactful whatsoever. And it was all left on Messi, and he was shut down completely and unable to do anything. It's sad to say that they got what they deserve in that game, because I really, really thought the universe wanted Messi to win the World Cup. I thought this was it.
I thought that, you know, throughout this tournament, Argentina kind of met teams that really did park the bus, you know, and play very defensively, which didn't allow them really to play that more attacking style. And as it went on, they actually found their comfort zone and became a very good defensive team, which we didn't think they were entering the tournament. And I give them credit for that. I mean, who would have guessed that the implantation of Mr. Di Michaelis into the side made them more solid at the back? So I'm not surprised by what they did. Obviously, they sat very deep and they relied on the counterattack. But like Tom mentioned, they could have scored in that first half. Probably one or two goals for sure. Higuain's miss was a really bad miss. And then later in the match, obviously, Palacios with another bad miss as well.
Yeah, Rodrigo Palacios is not the guy you want in the box to be your fox in a World Cup final.
And we never really did see them peak. I mean, I think that the team we wanted to see, we saw once, and that was against Nigeria in a game that was really kind of nothing, because they just had to draw it to win the group. And that's when they played the free, expansive stuff, and it was enjoyable, and Messi scored the free kick, and they scored three goals. They gave up two as well, and I think that game did a lot for them and for Sabella to say, okay, well, if we get into these high-scoring affairs, we can beat Nigeria 3-2, but we can't do that to get to where we want to get to. And they decide to settle for that ugly, you know, get it done kind of game, and it got them to a final and got them 7 minutes away from a penalty shootout to win the World Cup. And if they had won it, it would have been, you know, ugly, but effective, and they would have taken it. But it just, you know, the football gods smiled on Germany and said, you know, they were the best team. And when we got to the last four, we kind of had that point when none of these teams have been great. I think Germany, after those two performances, we can say we're the great team, and they fully deserve it. Nobody can question the best team on the World Cup.
So, Sharms, let me ask you this then. Am I greedy to having, you know, this clearly been the best World Cup I've watched? We discussed that before. Many people say, you know, the best World Cup in the modern era. Am I greedy to have wanted to see Argentina in the end at least try and go for it? Because it's Sabella thinking, well, we can't afford to leave ourselves vulnerable at the back, so we'll have to hope to catch them on the counter, and if not, run our luck to penalties. Penalties against the Germans? Really? No, Is that a good strategy?
I think you are being a bit greedy. I think nothing really changed in this team's outlook, and that was we will defend, and we will hope for a moment of genius from Messi. And it didn't come today. There's the one chance he should have scored, and you bank Messi to score from there every single time, but he clearly wasn't himself. I don't know if it's fatigue or what it is, carrying injuries, but you know, the last calendar year, he has not been the same Leo Messi, and we discussed, boys, for years, when will he break down? Because he played so much football at the highest standard for so many years. Well, you can say the last 12 months he has broken down, and he isn't quite the same player. Still very good. I thought he had a very, very good World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Was he the player of the tournament? That is a disgrace.
I don't care about these individual awards, but that is so ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
You couldn't put him in the top five or six even.
We had to give him something. Here you go. Player of the tournament.
He was embarrassed by it. Do you see him?
Oh, of course he was. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the dual embarrassment slash, you know, just gutted that they couldn't get the job done. But
is it just FIFA being inept as usual, or is it?
They might as well have given it to Ronaldo.
Is Adidas involved there a little bit? You know, they sponsored the award.
It's, you know what? That's a very interesting conversation. I never thought about that. Would it have gone to somebody else? But you say, you know, maybe he's not even in the top five. Well, who do you give that's clear cut? Do you pick, are the
well,
three Germans that you pick out?
Clear cut.
I would say Manuel Neuer could have got it.
James Rodriguez could have got it.
James Rodriguez was my personal pick.
Mats Hummels could have got it.
Thomas Müller, I wouldn't have been upset to see him get it. I thought Schweinsteiger last in the knockout phase was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he really
we
was.
We saw him today. Mm-hmm. Arjen Robben.
Robben could have got it.
Absolutely. All
any of those
Messi.
Guys over
yeah.
Messi.
Yeah. But yeah, right, you mentioned Germany, and let's give them some credit here because they were a great team in the end. Listen, 7-1 was still a freak result, and they weren't that good, but they were still obviously great in that match, and I thought they were excellent today. And you look at the age of this team, and we just said it in 2010, boys, working on World Cup tonight, we said, listen, look at the ages on this team right now. They were all in their early 20s, mm-hmm. some were in the mid-20s. I think Schweinsteiger was 26 back in 2010, and we thought, boy, you watch, by 2014, this team could be a champion, and here we are.
And you know what's amazing about it is what confidence will do now winning the World Cup, because this is a team that have had the pieces and gotten to a semifinal now for the fourth straight World Cup and not been able to get over that hump the last three. And now getting there, winning it, I mean, much like Spain had that run of 6 years where they were the team to beat and they won three major tournaments, Germany now have the depth, the youth, and now the confidence of winning, and they're going to be an absolute force for the next, you know, 4, 6, 8 years with this team.
Did it without Marco Reus, yep. their best mm-hmm. player. Did it without Ilkay Gundogan, who's going to be probably one of the top midfielders. Lars Bender wasn't there either. There's kids coming through the pipeline there as well. It's frightening. And if you look at... Sorry, go ahead, B.
I was just going to say, add to that, Götze, a bench player.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there you go.
When he's a bench player, like, watch out.
Yeah.
And if you look at the, you know, their opponents coming up, let's just look at year 2016 to start with here. The powers in European football. Italy, rebuilding, right? Got to rebuild. France are going to be a very good team, but
yeah,
they're still
they
growing.
Be.
I don't think they're at a point in 2 years where they'll be a championship team. Maybe contender.
Contender.
But still.
Host contender.
Spain, retooling.
Retooling.
We don't really know what they're going to be.
I'd go rebuilding.
Netherlands will be
aging,
there again, though.
Well, the top players are getting much older in 2 years' time. Are going to rely on Robben and RVP? Don't
what,
know.
But, no, what about but England?
I think that, you know, RVP and Robben, the key pieces that they are now, they're going to be replaced. Maybe not in 2 years, at least up top with Van Persie. But I do think that, you know, we saw it this year already with Wijnaldum and Depay. Like, they've got young pieces that can...
Sure, I get your point. Germany are clear-cut favorites to win that tournament.
Right.
It's
a nice opportunity for them to be that dominant team.
Absolutely.
Because there are
Absolutely.
Question marks around all the contenders. There's not another great European team right now. Now, maybe there will be by then, but at the moment there isn't a great European team.
And let's
team.
Not take away from what they did. And I know the South American, winning in South America thing is a little bit overrated because there hasn't been a tournament there in so long and it's different now. But still, a lot of people thought, and I think that, you know, even in this room, there's a lot of thought that for a team outside of South America to win there was going to be difficult. And look at the path they took. Look at the teams that Germany played to win this World Cup. They played Portugal, they played Ghana, they played the U.S., okay, Algeria, and then they played France, Brazil, and Argentina.
The toughest game?
They had the toughest route.
Algeria.
Says a lot, because on paper, the other six are a lot tougher. But the path that they took, nobody can question them. They went through all the juggernauts.
Their travels, too, and the climates they played in, they had a brutal group phase.
Yep.
And the concern was, back in Germany, man, we may get out of this group, but then we're going to be buggered. And you know what? Maybe that's what the Algeria game showed, perhaps. I don't know. They look very tired today as well. But regardless, they put that adversity behind them, and they still triumphed.
Raf Honigstein wrote a piece... I don't know if it was The Guardian or ESPN, a few days before, I think it was before the semifinal, about the chemistry and the camaraderie that they had and how the Germans, you know, built that camp that they stayed in and how they wanted it to be such a small place so that the players wouldn't get lost and have to, like, be around each other. They really built an intimate spot for them.
Find themselves suddenly in a favela somewhere by accident.
Exactly, yeah. No, but they built a really intimate spot for them to train and live together and totally
And all the wags were around,
think,
you know, see them all on the field.
What is that, by the way?
Just,
not having it.
Oh, my
not having
God.
It. I enjoyed it.
Joke.
Man, they wear their
pants
very
well. I'm pretty sure Dunlop and I were 5 feet from a lot of them.
I recognized half of those men.
Did you?
Recognize
half of those. No, they're all different now.
They're more wags than kids. And I actually have an issue with kids being out there.
It was unbelievable.
But that's the statement. It'd be the same. same equivalent. If we did a Sportsnet day, Dobby and I would bring the girlfriends, and you would bring all the children, right? So it's the same equivalent. You're Schweinsteiger, we're Draxler and Sherlock.
I would not put my kid in the field because it's about me and my teammates.
Fair enough.
Anyways, what were we talking about? Listening to Old Man Charmin, though.
I'm trying to find it. Did you see the Thomas Müller dancing?
No,
video?
It's good.
Was it as hilarious as I think
absolutely
it would be?
How would you imagine Thomas Müller dances? That's very what it looked like.
But just back to the point on Germany, I mean, we talk about, oh, who could have been player of the tournament, you know, if not Messi, and we named a few German players there, and it just speaks to how much of a team they were, how... I can't concentrate when you guys are showing these bloody videos.
Talk, I'm just going to watch Dancing Müller. Oh, this is like Dobby in Amsterdam. This is hilarious. Oh, buddy. Look at this. This is a great vine.
What a complete team between Neuer and Lahm and Schweinsteiger and Müller. I mean, just a bit of... Is that serious?
That's serious, yeah.
But he's Google Müller
Google
dancing.
Google Thomas Müller dancing, everyone, and you'll know what we're laughing at here.
Wow, all right.
But yeah, what a team. Manuel Neuer, by the way. I mean, there's not even a question. He's the best goalkeeper in the world
right
now.
It's funny, though. All the doubts when Pep Guardiola went there that, you know, maybe Neuer wasn't the guy that he wanted, doesn't handle the ball well, doesn't command the men in front of him quite the same way he wants. I know.
It's great.
It was refreshing to see, too. I mean, he's a hell of a keeper. And to think that, you know, when you're at the level and you're at the top, sometimes it's not good enough to just own it, which I thought he's done for the most part. But now I don't think anyone can shake a stick at him for quite a while.
I still say, I said it on the show today, that Algeria are the reason why they're champions. Because in that match is when Lahm went to right back because Mustafi got injured.
Yeah.
It's Khedira and Schweinsteiger. Obviously, Khedira didn't play today. And how gutted must he be, by the way, after his terrible injury-ravaged season.
Yeah.
But in the end, it didn't matter.
And another point, I mean, that Ghana match... 2-2, and it was a wide open thing. We talked about Argentina maybe learning we can't play this wide open thing. Think back to Germany after that, because that game everyone thought, oh, this Germany team's not that good. They were giving up chances left and right. Maybe could have lost to Ghana. Well, then they went and blanked the U.S. 1-0 and gave up no chances. And then the Algeria match, they gave up a goal in the 120th minute when it was already 2-0. You know, then they get a clean sheet against France and completely shut them down. And then they give up a goal to Brazil when it's 7-0. So think about it. They conceded two goals after that Ghana match, and both, when were the games? One was 7-0, and one was in the 120th minute, 2-0.
Great point.
Right? They completely shut it down. They completely bought into this team. The midfielders, you know, tracking back, shutting down the runs. They closed all the lanes. I mean, I'm no tactical wizard here, but they had it completely figured out and gave up very little. Today in the first half was the worst they looked defensively since that Ghana game, and they got lucky.
Yeah, that counter was really... They were really... focusing on Huidas on that left side, when
they were he
was always going to be the spot to exploit them.
Mm-hmm. But when he's a weak spot, you know, it's a pretty deep team.
Yeah, let me go back to one thing you were saying earlier. It's funny, you were almost raving or craving the Germans to become a dynasty. It sounds like I wouldn't go that far, but you know what I'm trying to say.
You know, I like dynasties.
Yeah, I know
I
do. You do. That
I
was
don't
my,
mind
that was my point. That,
now Germany. Perhaps not. You know, we've got some history.
Did
four World Cups?
Did you hear
more from the football field?
Did
more from the football field?
Did you happen to see Connected on Saturday night or Sunday morning?
In my PVR, I'm going to watch it later.
Oh, it's your PVR. Well, I in throwing to the piece that you were previewing the match with Jerry Dobson, I used a line from my English buddy who said, "I said, what do you think of the game tomorrow? Who do you like?" He's like, for an Englishman, he's like, watching Argentina and Germany in a World Cup final, it's like watching two guys fight over who's going to take your girlfriend home. And I use that to describe how you must feel.
It's funny because I cannot ever cheer for Germany. I respect them immensely.
Sure.
And I like their players. I just can't cheer for them. Argentina's not far off either for numerous reasons. But I just, you know, my thoughts on Leo Messi. And I want him to be remembered for the right things. And this gives some haters a little bit of fodder, shall we? Which is, I think, very unfair.
It's funny because everyone who listens to any of our podcasts or watches anything that I've ever done or seen a photograph knows how incredibly biased I am towards Cristiano Ronaldo. And the thought when Portugal went out of Lionel Messi winning the World Cup, I thought, man, this can happen. I really thought Ronaldo would, you know, I really wanted him to do it first, because now Messi will leapfrog him again in the best player in the world conversation. People will say, oh, Pele, Maradona, and Messi, Ronaldo hasn't proved it yet. I didn't want that scenario to happen.
But then
we got to the final. I know, but then we got to the final, and I was incredibly disappointed to see Messi lose it. I really was. I don't think I was prepared
for
that.
Overall, for his legacy and whatnot, and I know him not winning, and there's going to be the haters, what do you think happened to Messi's overall legacy talk and we think of overall, did it stay the same? Did it go up or did it go down in your eyes?
I think it, amongst the football faithful, it went up. I think people are going to say he played really well in that World Cup.
I would agree with you. Just a little bit.
Just. He played really well in that World Cup. He wasn't great, but there's also something more to it. I think much like Ronaldo, people thought that wasn't really the Ronaldo we saw out there
right.
this World Cup. He was clearly hurt.
But I still think that the people who will make the argument that he's not in that Maradona, Pelé level because he hasn't won a World Cup now still have that ammunition.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And yeah.
I still think
it's tough because he doesn't have the. I still think you need to win a World Cup to get in that conversation.
Yeah,
I still do.
Discuss it. The more I realize, comparing generations is so pointless.
It's so pointless. But that's what we do as sports fans, right? And that's.
Don't take that away from us, old man Charmin. Give me a break.
Let's
we
go
need
to this
that.
Germany legacy thing for a second. I mean, they still have to qualify.
Let me ask you this then right now. Sorry, go ahead.
Germany still have to qualify in a group with Ireland, Poland, Scotland, Georgia, and Gibraltar.
See, they might not get there. Yeah, so, Gibraltar could be a real banana skin.
September 7th, less than 2 months away, Euro 2016 qualifying kicks off.
Our old boss has a Gibraltarese passport.
Which old boss? There's so many.
Dermot.
Has he really?
No. I think so.
He's got Gibraltar. Oh, that's right.
I forgot about England's group. Switzerland, Slovenia, Estonia, Lithuania, San Marino. Could be some banana skins there, too, as you would say.
I can think of five.
Switzerland.
Wow. Let me ask you this.
I can think of five. Good.
We're talking about Messi and Ronaldo, yeah? We're talking about the rest of the World Cup briefly here. Arjen Robben, at what point do we say that this guy is up there with those boys? Because is there anyone more exciting with the ball at his feet than Arjen Robben right now?
You know,
I know he's 30. Yeah. He looks like he's 40. But my God, he's a special player.
He really was. And it's funny you say that because yesterday in the third place game, John Herdman at the end had said, you know, it's a shame that it's going to be his last World Cup and he's going to go out having not won anything. Well, clearly you don't value the third place game. But I mean, to think that, you know, the career that Arjen Robben has had, and he looks 40, but I also feel like he is 40 because I feel like he's been around
for so long, yeah.
His Chelsea days when he was a star at Chelsea, or at least, you know, growing into one, seemed like they were so long ago.
He looked the same, didn't he?
He looked exactly
the
same.
He's not changed.
But he really is special to watch. And I think it's the way in which he's a very clear-cut guy. Touch him and he's going to go down. But he's still able to work it. You know what
all
I mean?
All that crap. I mean, people got so upset about him diving. That's because they never watched him before.
He's always been like
World
that.
Cup fans who don't watch. Have you not watched him for the last decade?
Stop talking about the Sportsnet newsroom, okay?
What happened to England?
Other moments.
England sucked. What happened to England?
Is it being remembered now for Brazil 7-1, do you think? Is it being remembered for Spain? Is Luis Suarez still going to sneak in?
I think the Brazil story is the one that we're going to remember the most. I mean, they were just the talk of the tournament coming in, obviously, and the pressure. And I think just the way that they absolutely capitulated. And we won't remember the third place game as much, but the fact that they were walked off the field as well, I mean, to not give their fans anything back, it was another disaster. That 7-1 Germany game, I think, will be the one that we'll remember forever as the mark of this tournament.
I'll tell you what I'm really happy about. It's not going to be Suarez's bite, which you sat in that same chair and told us that we're going to remember this World Cup for Suarez having ruined it. No, it's going to be one of 10 things that you mentioned.
No, I'll say this. Fans of the game like ourselves will remember it for Brazil, 100%. Yeah. But the greater public conscience out there remembers it for Suarez. Bet you anything.
Mm. I wrote a blog last night. I wrote two blogs. It's funny because I rarely write in preparation for things. And I wrote a blog as if Argentina had won today.
Good.
About Messi.
Who scored?
Shame that I won't. Messi. I said that Messi was going to. It was going to 1-0. I predicted 1-0,
and it was
Messi's moment of brilliance. That?
So that I
just
could
just in case right away.
No, it's like when.
What's wrong with you?
When proper journalists prepare for a situation like an obituary, they've written it kind of before. That's exactly what this was. But I didn't write it about the match, though. I wrote it about Messi.
Goodbye, Brazil. Goodbye, old friend.
Well, I miss you.
Wasn't quite that way. Okay. I also wrote another one that for the morning, as people wake up with this hollowness in their soul that they don't know how to fill. Think about the memories.
It's the home run derby tomorrow.
Flip through the pictures. I don't think that's going to take it away. I don't think that's going to take it away. But Brazil, obviously, Spain's collapse, the way that they went out, the way that ended. James Rodriguez in his statement, I really think that football fans knew who he was.
He's a star.
Now the whole world knew who he was. Yeah. I'm going to remember Guillermo Ochoa. I know there was a lot of other great keepers.
Especially.
But that save will be one we talk about like Banks. That'll be forever spoken about. Just like 100%. I think
Neymar's injury.
Robin Van Persie's dolphin goal will be talked about for a long time as well. And to me, you know, we talked about it. I think we gave a hat tip to the soccer fans down south. But I think the way America responded to the World Cup, or just the way that it captured the country, it seems like. Mm-hmm. That's only good for us up here.
Tell the listeners where people can read your pre-match reports.
Where is it? Well, Twitter and Facebook. I got a WordPress.
My
pre-match report? The one that I've written before?
No, the one you write. It's your own blog, right?
BrendanDunlop.wordpress.com.
Okay, there you go. See, plug for you.
Thanks, and how about that Goethe moment? We might remember that as well.
That goal today?
We might remember that little one? Goal.
Do you think that, I mean, it's hard for me to grasp it because I was kind of angry watching the match and wanted something to happen. It was a good goal.
Only because you
is it a World Cup winning goal?
It was
exactly
phenomenal.
Why.
Of course it was. It was
brilliant
phenomenal.
Goal.
But you're going to remember that goal as the tipping point of the match?
Absolutely.
Well, obviously it was the tipping point. You know what I mean?
How are you talking about?
No, let's go back
and edit
this.
Probably when they subbed on like Shirley. Like, I mean, what? Yes, no, but it was the tipping point of the match when they scored the winning goal in the 112th
minute. We watched the same match, right? And
let me go back here and say
I'm criticizing the past too for saying that game was crap.
What's wrong with you?
No, I didn't say I was going to take it out. No, I'll leave. No, listen to me. Listen to me here. Can you describe? Can you listen? Memory banks.
For me, it was Kadira's injury.
Can you remember how? Can you remember the build-up to Iniesta's goal?
Because
I don't.
No,
I remember
so
that he
much.
Scored it, and I remember that they won it.
Though, in fairness.
Kind of
exactly.
Sort of,
my point is that that goal, unlike, you know,
so what do you remember?
You
know what I remember of the 2010 final, if I had to encapsulate it in three things?
Nigel de Jong.
It was the kick, it was Robben's miss, and then it was the winning goal. Those three things, right? So from the game that we just saw today, what do we remember?
I can't pick three other things.
What are the three things? I'm going to remember Higuain's miss.
Yeah.
And probably the goal.
I'm
going to
remember Schweinsteiger's broken face.
Maybe the face,
just because of
Terry Butcher.
Kind of, yeah. It's a very different player, sadly.
But like a Terminator,
what
it just
kind of
came back to
it. Symbolized to me, you know, that German resolve and how they're unbreakable.
Hmm.
Although I guess
Yogi
loved
stereotype it. His nose and eat it, so that's good.
That was a surprise.
It was a shocker.
It's like someone must have told him.
Yeah. Very odd.
Yeah.
It's the only thing missing from the World Cup final. Yogi Love.
Sad it's over, boys. I really am. A month
I'm not
just
at all.
Like
I'm
that.
Happy as hell.
Yeah, you're going on vacation.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
No, it was, though. It was a great World Cup, and 171 goals, which equals
the record
from 98. Listen, the goals dried up, and we couldn't really expect that to continue from the group phase. But for me and you guys, too, obviously, it was the most enjoyable World Cup I've ever experienced. You know, I think back at 2010 and the whole experience was amazing for us working on that show. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. But the actual World Cup sucked.
Yeah.
Right? It really did.
The World Cup
compared
really
to this, it did not.
Yeah.
Now Euro has got big shoes to fill in 2016.
Hey, let us not forget about
teams,
Copa America 2015 in Chile. Huh?
So they're
Watch
doing
out.
That tournament still
Watch
and
out.
Then they're doing the combined one in 2016? Because isn't there
the combined
North America, South America, CONCACAF and CONMEBOL one?
Yeah. Oh,
in
right. Yeah. And they're hosting it in the States?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Has that been confirmed? It hasn't been confirmed.
No.
But regardless, Copa America is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It really
Told
is.
You, less than 2 months until Euro 2016 qualifying starts. September 7th. There's
Catch them all
on
Sportsman.
Crazy. Yeah.
Right, Gibraltar,
well,
I can't wait to see
go
Gibraltar.
Go our separate ways, and we'll reconvene maybe in time for the Premier League season.
That sounds pretty good.
That would be nice.
Yeah, less than 5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Giddy up!
This weekend, Community Shield. Amazing.
Not this weekend.
No,
August.
A 3rd. Month.
Yeah,
from this
August
weekend.
10th.
Oh, right. I heard this weekend as well.
I probably said that.
Yeah, you probably did.
You're tired.
Your mind's already
run.
In.
It's
on
not
vacation,
here.
Buddy.
It's not here.
I can't believe it's over.
Oh, yeah. All right, boys. Thank you for listening.
Stay strong, people.
Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll probably get back and do some of this stuff in time for the new season because we're all like working at the same place once again now. So it makes it much easier than before.
I don't know. Your sit downs with Nazem Kadri every week that might get in the way.
You're the happy guy now, buddy. You got the accent.
All right. Cheers. Bye.